I want to look at the book of Luke today. Father, we just thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that in all things, your word is hope, it is life, it is strength, and it is deliverance for us. We see Jesus, we see you revealed, because you are the word. We see you revealed through these pages and through these words. And we just lift up your precious name, Jesus. We say thank you for who you are and for the word that we have. And as we look at that word today, I thank you. There's going to be great revelation, strength, and encouragement for each one of us, because your word never returns void. So we just say thank you, Lord. You be glorified, Jesus. Amen. Being that it is the Christmas season, I wanted to look at one of the stories that's very familiar to us from the Gospels about the birth of Christ. We've looked always at both the book of Matthew and the book of Luke, have the two different versions, two different stories of the birth of Jesus Christ. But Luke's the only one that really gives us a really clear indication of what took place before the birth of Jesus Christ. And we see an awful lot about Mary, and even going back before Mary, just a little bit before Mary. We all know the story of Gabriel coming and speaking to Mary, but we sometimes overlook, which is a really good example for us, that the angel Gabriel made two visits. Just months before that, he also appeared to Zacharias, who was the father of John, who would become John the Baptist. And you see a difference in the response. There's just so many great things we can learn from these stories. In all the Christmases, and perhaps already at church yesterday, you might have already done this, as you're singing Christmas songs and songs for the holidays. Every Christmas, we all sing songs about the young, faith-filled Virgin Mary. And images always come to our mind of all the childhood memories we have of that image of Mary, that image we see on all the Christmas cards and the image that we see from TV shows and whatnot. We see her sitting in that familiar scene flanked by Joseph as they stare at the newborn Savior, Jesus, quietly sleeping in that manger, surrounded by all the various barnyard animals. But in all the portrayals, she's always silent, and she always has that kind of smile of just that knowing contentment in her eyes. It's all very reverent, all very quiet, and all very Christmassy, if you will. And that's a great image, and it's a very peaceful image, but there's so much more to the story of Mary, and there's so much more to the faith that she had to exhibit. And what a great example that she is for us, for all the ages and generations. There's so much we can learn from the promises of God and accepting the promises of God that come from this young woman. And it's a little bit unfortunate that that's the only image that we have of Mary is that serene setting, which is a beautiful image. But there's so much more to it than just that picture of her in the manger. With the manger scene at Christ's birth. We almost universally ignore all the truly admirable other moments that we can find from Mary in the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. The moment that she set for us, all the things, the examples that she set for us, the examples that we can still learn from today. She was so much more than just quietly sitting there as a proud new mother, as we often see portrayed. In fact, she spoke in boldness, and she moved in faith that should both inspire us today and encourage us and challenge us when we face the realities of God's Word and the realities of God's Word and how that Word can be applied in our lives. When we're believing and just trusting the Word, it's amazing to see the faith and the strength that is characterized, that's exemplified by this very young woman. And she would have been a very young woman at that moment in time. But we see that character and that strength exemplified when she received that announcement of the coming of the Redeemer, the Lord that was going to be made flesh, and that would be the seed that was inside of her, and what her role would be and who she would be. When we think of Mary as mother of our Savior, we always tend to just assume that she really didn't have a choice in the matter. That it was something that was thrust upon her, that she had no choice, that she had to become the mother of Jesus Christ, the mother of our Savior. And that's not true at all. She, like all of us, you know, everything in life is about choices. God tells us the things he will do for us. God shows us his faithfulness. He shows us and gives us his word and his promises. And we have choices. And it was no different for Mary. She had a choice as well. It wasn't just thrust upon her and she had no choice. It was just like Gabriel came and said, here's what's going to happen to you. This is your lot in life. It wasn't just something that happened. When you listen to how the story unfolds, you realize just how great a step of faith it was that Mary had to take. And you also begin to understand that she had to accept what the Lord was doing and embrace that in her life. She had to accept it and embrace it. This is the way it is for us in the Word as well. We have to, when we read the Word and we hear the promises and we can actually read those very promises for ourselves, or when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and gives us a promise, we do the same thing that Mary did. She both embraced it and accepted it. That was a great step of faith. And you begin to understand what she went through. Seeing the amazing honor, but she also had to fully comprehend the difficulties and the challenges that would come if she did accept God's will in her life. And this was God's will. She was chosen. She would be the chosen vessel, but she had to accept it. This is the way it is for you and I. We have to accept the promises and the things that God has. And we call the Bible the good news. We call the New Testament the good news because it is good news. It's astoundingly good news. It's news of hope. It's news of victory. It's news of deliverance. It's news of strength. It's news of who we are in Jesus Christ. It's incredible good news. Yet we have to accept it. We have to believe it and accept it. And that's exactly what we see at the very beginning stages of what we had now as the New Testament in the very life of Mary. She accepted God's will. She could have doubted or outright rejected the Lord's plan for her life, but instead she chose to accept the incredible promise despite the immediate difficulties in the natural world that would accompany that promise. And we all know that there was a lot of difficulties when, especially in that day and age, in that time, in that culture, in that setting, for a young woman, not yet married, to become pregnant. How often do we not embrace the plans that God has for us? The amazing things, plans that He has that would change our lives, as well as change the lives of others around us, if we would just accept His will and accept His promises and believe, embrace, and willingly believe those promises that He has for us. It would affect not just us, but also those people around us, if we'd accept and receive His word in our lives. We tell ourselves that the things that we have laid upon our hearts by the Lord, well, they really can't be of Him. I mean, how many times do you go through life, and in the same way that Mary could have said, you know what, I just imagined all that. You know, that was not real. She could have given all kinds, all manner of excuses to not accept that which God had chosen her for. Too often we take the easy way, and we just choose to, when we hear from God, say, well, that was just me, not God. It takes boldness and it takes faith to walk in Him. We sometimes even refuse to receive the truth of His word when it applies to our lives because it just seems too difficult for us to believe. Whether it's for healing or for restoration of relationships, finances, depression, whatever it might be in your life. If you've had a hard time receiving the benefits the Lord has established for you, then consider Mary, mother of our Savior, and what gave her the strength to stand and receive from the Lord the most amazing of blessings. It should cause us to ponder and consider how we respond when God wants us to move in mighty ways through our lives. Do I embrace them in faith, or do I hesitate, doubt, and then miss out on what the Lord would delight to see take place in my life? Perhaps this is the reason we don't see the amazing things in life that we long for. Do you want to see the supernatural take place in your daily life? Do you want to see that supernatural taking place, evidence for you and for others? Then let's take a look at the example of Mary at that pivotal point of choice and action in her life. Now, perhaps the best way to really bring this out is to draw that comparison between she and Zechariah, or it depends on the version that you read. Sometimes it's Zechariah, sometimes it's Zacharias. But again, they both had that same visit with an annunciation from the Archangel Gabriel. And yet their responses were different, and as a result, the results for both of them were different. And we can learn from that. This all takes place in the first chapter of Luke, and we see these parallel stories of both Mary and Zechariah. Just as Mary was visited by the angel Gabriel with the news of the pregnancy with the Redeemer, so her relative Zechariah had a similar experience. Now Zechariah was serving as a priest in the temple, and by lot it fell to him to burn the incense in the holy place. As he was fulfilling all his priestly duties, the angel Gabriel appeared to him and announced to him that his wife would bear a son in her advanced age. The son would then become the man who would be the forerunner of the Redeemer, as had been prophesied in the Old Testament. This angelic visitation to Zechariah preceded the appearance of Gabriel to Mary, that we're all so familiar with. But let's look at, and we're not going to get time to go through all this today, but let's look at, or at least start to look at, what the Word shows about these two and the differences between these two angelic visitations. To make the picture complete, it's helpful to see where both of them were respectively when they were confronted by Gabriel in this message of good news. Zechariah is actually in the temple, serving as his priest, as his role as the priest. He's in the holy place by the altar of incense. And we're told specifically, we're not told specifically where Mary was. But we can kind of just, you know, get an image of her, just given her station of life and what life would have been like. You know, she was probably just in her home. Maybe she was off somewhere by herself. So differences in the two different places. One is just going through daily life. The other one is there in the temple itself. Now, to begin with, they both respond with trepidation to the appearance of Gabriel. And I think we can all understand that also, given the same situation. I'm sure that we would be somewhat taken aback by the appearance of the Archangel Gabriel coming and speaking to us, very much just the direct word of God. In Luke 1:12, we see Zechariah's response. It says, "And when Zechariah saw him," this is from the Amplified Bible, "and when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear took possession of him." Boy, that's key. Fear took possession of him. This is such a great illustration for us, because we can either allow fear to possess us, or we can become the masters of fear. Either we control fear, or fear controls us. Well, Zechariah, his response, quite clearly, he allowed that fear to overwhelm him, and that changed the entire course of events for Zacharias. And we're going to see something different with Mary. In verse 29, it reveals that Mary's reaction was this: "But when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused." We can understand all that. "At what he said, and kept revolving in her mind what such a greeting might mean." So both of them were fearful, both of them were uncertain about this appearance. And while we can understand this, and we can all empathize with this, what's important to both of them, and to us as observers, is the difference in their responses. Here's also where we take our first inventory of ourselves, to see what's our response when we're in the situation. Now, Gabriel's not going to appear to us, because God's going to speak to us through the Holy Spirit. In the same way that it was just awe-inspiring for the angel Gabriel to come, the great thing is that we have much better. God doesn't have to send Gabriel to speak to us anymore, because now you and I have the Holy Spirit. And so it's not going to be, we don't have to wait for an angelic visit to take place in our lives, which obviously was a rarity throughout the course of human events. We don't have to wait, because we've got the Holy Spirit that speaks to us day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, if we will listen, and speaks to us the very words of God. But then we have to ask ourselves, what is our response? Because we can look and we can see the response of both Zechariah and Mary. But the question is, what then is our response? Both of them were fearful. What about us? What would our response be? And what is our response today? Now, it's important to recall that the words that Gabriel brought to them, what was his emotion? And what was the motivation behind the respective messages that he brought to each one of those, Zechariah and Mary? In both cases, Gabriel comes with good news, and he expresses it as good news. In fact, it's words that should bring rejoicing and an anticipatory excitement about what is coming in each one of their lives. He's bringing a word directly from God to each in a very personal way that very few have ever had the honor of receiving. To Zechariah, Gabriel says, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your petition was heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you must call his name John," which means God is favorable, "and you shall have joy and exultant delight, and many will rejoice over his birth." Okay, that is really good news. That's good news when we find out that God has heard our request, and now here's the answer. It's going to be joy to us and joy to all those around us. That is really an exceptional response. His initial anxiety should have fled as he hears that this is going to be the good news, not just to he and his wife, as he's going to be a father, but to all mankind as well. A joy that I'm certain he gave up hoping for long before, because of the age of both he and his wife Elizabeth. But even if he remained a little bit uncertain, how could you not be brought to a peace upon hearing that you're going to have joy and exultant delight? Because that's what Gabriel said. He said, you are going to have, the result of this shall be joy and exultant delight. I think we'd all take that. I think we'd all agree that that's a really good word to receive. and that most of us would love to have that spoken to us. Mary also received words from Gabriel that were designed to produce a peace and a calm assurance that was coming of what was coming next for her was going to be really good. In verse 28, the archangel says, "And he came to her and he said, 'Hail, O favored one, endued with grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed favored of God are you before all women.'" That's a good word. There's a wonderful observation. We're continually given words of joy and peace like this, continually. We have them promised to us in the Word, and we should have continual peace in anticipation of the good things coming to us, just as Zechariah and just as Mary did. But the question is for today, what is our reaction to the supernatural promises that God has spoken to us in His Word and in your spirit? Because you know what? I'm just telling you, you're not going to get a visit from the Archangel Gabriel because he doesn't have to do that anymore. Because Jesus came. He came to announce the birth of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus came and Jesus died, he said, "I must depart so that the Comforter could come." Now we have the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us. And in the same way that we'll look at this again tomorrow, but as we see the difference between Zechariah's response and Mary's response, it should make us consider what would our response be and what is our response as the Holy Spirit speaks to us amazing things and encouraging things, strengthening things, things that reveal the will of God for your life, things that reveal His passion for you and His pleasure and delight in doing good for you and using you to achieve His will and to advance His kingdom. There's words being spoken to you every single day. What is our reaction? What is our response? We'll look in more detail at Mary's response and at Zechariah's response tomorrow. And I think we can see where sometimes we fall too close to Zechariah, but we need to use Mary as more of an example because then we will see the amazing and the supernatural take place in our lives. The Christmas message is such a great story, and we see it acted out in Mary, and we can see that should be encouragement and strength for you and I on a daily basis.